I am working with the President of the United States. I'm working with the Director of FEMA. I'm marshaling all my state assets. We've been doing this now nonstop for over 2 weeks between Helene and this. And so if there's anything I can leverage to benefit my people, I'm going to do it. The fact of the matter is they put out a story saying I didn't even know she was trying to reach me, but she has no role in this process. And I've been dealing with these storms in Florida under both Trump and Biden. Neither of them ever politicized it. And in fact, all the storms I've dealt with under this administration, although I've worked well with the president, she has never called in Florida. She has never offered any support.
Well, what he was saying, if he finished his sentence, is that she's never called to offer any support. She's never called prior for any hurricane. is what he was saying there. And then now it's different because, you know, it's an election and she's got to try to make herself seem like executive in some way. And I'm not kidding you. This is still going. She's still doing this. We're not talking about this. I want to make it really clear. I'm not like going over this over and over it because, you know, I'm trying to keep it in the news or because, you know, we're trying to be petty or anything to that effect. I mean, as Kane can attest, I mean, we're still talking about it because she keeps doing it. And she was tweeting about it. She said a couple more things about it in the press. She was tweeting about it. It's really embarrassing to see this continue to happen and to her to do this as, you know, you've got Floridians going through a hurricane. So welcome to the program. Dana Loesch with you. We're at the top of this first hour and I wanted to give you the lay of the land with everything. Because the hurricane blew through yesterday, Hurricane Milton, and now everybody is, you know, you got Ron DeSantis who's dealing with leading through recovery efforts and trying to. I mean, they're doing. Can I say they're doing a really good job? The linemen, the way that they're the power they're getting the power back on. They said that there's still like, you know, obviously tons of people without power, but they're getting that rectified because it's they got to deal with the infrastructure issue. They're dealing with getting the roads cleared. They can't do that in some of the areas where they still have those storm surges. And from what has it crested yet? I don't know that it's crested yet, meaning that I don't know if we're done seeing some of the floodwater come through some of these areas. But it's pretty amazing the organized response and outreach and all of that that you're seeing in Florida with regards to this hurricane. I mean, it's super impressive. And so that's what we're watching. I'm so glad that, I mean, there were fatalities, sadly, and you don't want to see any fatalities. But in a lot of these areas, from what I've been hearing, is that it could have been worse. I have some friends that live on the outskirts of Tampa Bay, and they were saying that you're dealing with, you know, fatalities and damage, but they were saying that they were actually shocked that it wasn't worse. And my friends were saying that, because, you know, you check in with everybody. My friends were saying that they were kind of stealing themselves. And they said that it really, and they think it was because the advanced preparedness. Audio Soundbite 30, DeSantis this is how he's describing Milton. Now, he's very practical. We who are not in hurricane territory see it. And we're like, oh, my gosh, that's a tornado on the water. Air bar run. And I mean, you add water to it and it just is a whole level of freak out. Floridians are like, yeah. This is DeSantis being very practical about it. Watch.
What we can say is the storm was significant, but thankfully this was not the worst case scenario. The storm did weaken before landfall, and the storm surge, as initially reported, has not been as significant overall as what was observed for Hurricane Helene. Right now, it looks like Sarasota County had the most significant storm surge, likely somewhere between 8 to 10 feet. And remember, with Helene, we had 15 to 20 feet up in Taylor County.
So, I mean, thankfully, it looks like they're very, very prepared and they're going to bounce back right quick. So, I mean, goodness, I'm just so glad that I mean, this is, it's the difference between, if you look at the response, you know, in North Carolina, and then you look at how Florida was handling it, there's a difference in how you're, how you act immediately to be prepared, and what you're, you know, you have to have everything covered. And there's so many different moving parts that come together. I mean, it really is multitasking to the nth degree. I am so blown away by, you know, all the people, the electrical workers, and you know, all of these, you know, the people who the engineers for bridges and everything. I mean, they're already having people on the ground as soon as waters are receding. It's safe to get in there because did you hear the gators are patrolling there? Like actual legit, the animals that you make boots out of, alligators, and that, yeah, gator fritters. Nobody had no gator fritters before. It's actually not bad. They actually taste like. I'm all about culling herds, right? I don't want to pet an alligator. I can't really snuggle it, but you guys get. But, yeah, where's the story at? I got to have this because I had everyone who lives in Florida sent me this story. All of you sent me this story today. So alligators are stalking homes in floodwaters after Milton barreled through. And I guess there are a lot of houses on canals, and there's like a lot of, obviously a lot of waterways. I mean, you're out walking your dog, you got to pay attention to all this stuff. They said that some residents, they could see, like one, apparently there was one video going around that it wasn't an old hurricane, it was a new one, where there was like, somebody saw a smaller gator, kind of like in the floodwaters in the front yard. Someone said that they found an alligator snapping at the tire in the floodwater. So you got to be a little, I mean, there's video of it. Okay, the gator that's snapping at the tire cane does not seem to be twee.
Right.
That's a large gator. What do, okay. So some people are like, oh, you know, some of these smaller gators, what do Floridians think smaller gators are? Any gator that I can't yeet is big. This is kind of how I look at it. Golly. So they said they're, you know, please take caution because now the gator's house comes to you. So, but the power outages, I mean, obviously Tampa, Sarasota area going down south to Fort Myers, you're still seeing, I mean, the Hardy County, I think is what it is. You still have 9,600, 98%. They're working hard to restore that, going up to Volusia, Flagler counties as well. So, Collier counties. But I'm praying for everybody in that area. We got a lot of listeners out there. Got a lot of friends and family out there. And so far, I mean, it looks like Florida is going to be able to, you know, build back really quick. They were prepared. They were almost over-prepared, weren't they? They're so prepared, they're still helping out other states. Florida is so prepared, they're still helping out other states. Now, you would think in all of this that your response, if you were a candidate, say, and you were running for political office, say, you would think that your response would be, how can we best help? How can we best figure out, you know, how to partner? What do you need? What is it that we can do? And instead, Kamala Harris has been nonstop. She's been tweeting. She's been complaining about it to the press. She has been, she's still doing her little media blitz. And in the meantime, where's this audio? Let me pull this audio soundbite from Biden. Because this was yesterday. I tweeted about it. It was yesterday. Biden was saying that he was asked by the press. This is now the third time. He was asked by the press as to whether or not DeSantis needed to take Kamala Harris's calls on hurricanes. And Biden, audio's not, listen to this. This is just literally yesterday evening.
Mr. President, does Governor DeSantis need to take Vice President Harris's calls?
All I can tell you is that I'm talking to Governor DeSantis. He's been very gracious. He's thanked me for all we've done. He knows what we're doing. And I think that's important.
He's like, we're in contact. He even said, I gave him my what did he say? His personal number or direct number or something like that. He's like, he even has my personal number. So, yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, who's politicizing, though? Who's politicizing it? I think the person who's politicizing it is Kamala Harris, is what I think. But this is the third time that he's undercut her. He just threw her under the bus, iced her out. Give me more analogies. I need all of them. He just iced her out. See, she should have made sure that she was on the same page as him before she pulled this stunt. And she didn't. And so now she looks like a fool. A fool with zero political acumen. Well, I mean, she is a fool, but you know what I mean. So he's, I mean, he just, this is the third time. How many times you got to get hit by the bus's tires before you're like, maybe I should stop getting out, you know, in front of this. Maybe I should stop doing this. At what point? Because, let me pull this up too. This was, she just tweeted this a little bit ago. Hold on. Here, okay, here it is. An hour ago. She was, again, picking a fight on Twitter with DeSantis. She made up a quote and attributed it to him. Her Kamala verified campaign account. She actually made up a quote and attributed it to him. This is what she said. She said, quote, how do you characterize the federal response at this point? Governor DeSantis, quote, well, I've worked well with the Biden-Harris administration. They've been in close contact. They've approved our request for disaster relief aid. And guess what? It's literally not what he said. He didn't say Harris. He just said the president, and he didn't say they. She literally made up his quote to put herself in there. Is that not some pick-me energy, if y'all ever heard it? Oh my gosh. She legit made up the quote to try to get it in there. To try to get it. Oh my gosh. So she just lied about it. Again. She didn't even use those words. That is so desperate. And why does she keep doing that? Who in the hell is advising her? Oh my gosh. Who is advising her? Keep doing it. You're doing great. Golly. So she is, I mean, this is, you can't make this up. I wanted to, by the way, he is not in a mood to play around. This was at his press conference a little this morning. Where is this? This was, he was asked, it was, 29. Yeah, this was a Wall Street Journal. I'm pulling up the piece, actually. Because, you know, you always have these pieces where they're immediate. I know, you know, there's going to be damage, right? You know that. But a lot of time they're like completely over the top. And he was asked about this. Listen. He's like, nah, we're not doing this.
Lawrence from Wall Street analysts predicted that Milton's losses could exceed $50 billion. Does the state have any sort of...
How the hell would a Wall Street analyst be able to know? It's been dark all day. What, you just going to know that you're going to do? I mean, like, give me a break on some of this stuff. They're doing damage assessments now.
He's right, because they're trying to fearmonger and trying to make it look... They're trying to find anything that they can use to try to make him look bad. The press is working so hard. They need DeSantis to look bad to make Harris look better. And DeSantis is like, I ain't even playing that. I'm your Huckleberry. He's just taking out the trash. He don't have time for this. That's Alpha. All right, we got a lot more on the way. We got headlines coming up as we roll towards already. Like, I still have more smack to talk. Wait, no, don't go anywhere.
Hi, I'm Lillian, an English major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with a Constitution Minute.
America's founders believed in a separation of church and state, in that the country was not to have an official religion or an official sect. But that did not mean that government was to be hostile to religion, or even indifferent to religion, as many today argue. In fact, America's founding document, the Declaration of Independence, includes both a reference to God as the author of the laws of nature and a confident assertion that human beings are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Far from being hostile or indifferent to religion, America's founders understood the theology of the Declaration to be an essential part of the education of citizens.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
This Constitution Minute was furnished by Hillsdale College.
If you haven't learned your lesson yet, never rely on the federal government. After another FEMA fallout while Mayorkas shopped at designer stores, at some point we need to eliminate it and outsource it to the private sector while using the military like we did for Katrina.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So now they're saying there's a wave of heart attacks in young people, and it may be fueled by the Rona, not the injection that we had no idea what was in it, and we just went out and stuck ourselves. I didn't, but, you know, some did. Just saying. They said that people who get risk with the COVID now are at a higher risk of heart attacks and strokes years after clearing the infection, according to a major study. Now, Kane doesn't, he thinks a little differently about all this.
I do.
You think it's just the...
I think it's the vaccine. Absolutely. The COVID vaccine and the boosters. Absolutely it, causing all this.
Because they were looking at this, and pull this up. They were saying that it's, I mean, like people under like, what, 45?
Oh, yeah.
And younger. It's
and
like
younger.
It's,
way younger.
But I... How is it fueled by the virus? And why is it just in that subset? None of this makes sense.
It doesn't because I think it's not true.
That's just, or the injection. A massive space junk disaster in orbit is inevitable now. Scientists are saying that it's not a question of if, but when. I've been hearing about this for quite some time because there is a lot of space junk up there. They're saying that there's an orbital mapping firm called Leo Labs that is raising alarm bells about the dangerous amount of space junk littering the orbit that's going to create a catastrophe. And they're saying that it's a ticking time bomb waiting in the wings. There's like 30,000 objects bigger than a softball hurtling through space at super fast speeds. If I was like an astronaut, I would be a little nervous about spacewalking out there. I don't want to get hit in the head with like space junk, right? I wonder if that's like how often they have to worry about that. Raccoons. This story... It's funny. This is in Seattle, Washington. A woman had to call 911 because a gang of 100 raccoons arrived at her house and began scratching doors and windows and basically keeping her captive in her house. They try to attack her when she comes out. She says they're aggressive. They demand food. They pulled a gun on her. No, they didn't do that. But are they that Venezuelan gang? I don't know. It's in Kitsap County near Seattle. And she's been... Well, you know what caused this? She was feeding them scraps for 40 years.
There it is.
And then she's like, wait, I just don't know why they reacted like this. I don't know why they decided to descend on my home 40 years after I've been feeding them scraps. And she said the sheer number and the hostility. She said normal raccoons are nice, but these new ones scare her. That's literally what she said. God love it. All right, we got a lot more on the way. The latest with the hurricane, politicization, polling. Stick with us. Black Rifle Coffee. And I'm going to have to up my coffee because I've been drinking more than a couple of bags. Usually I have a cup a day. And I've been drinking like a cup and a half, 2 cups a day lately just because it's the election season. It's crazy. So I'm going to have to add a bag on because I'm a coffee club member. And so with Black Rifle Coffee, you can join the coffee club and you can pick whatever roast you want and have it shipped for free right to your doorstep so you never run out of coffee. Veteran owned, veteran and active duty work at Black Rifle Coffee. They get the best beans from around the world. And they roast them 5 days a week at their facilities in Tennessee and Utah. You are getting the best coffee that is out there. Everything else tastes like communist swill. It really does. And you can also try out their complete Mission Fuel Kit variety sampler to figure out which you like. It's a classic, features a lineup of their classic roasts. You have the Silencer Smooth, the AK-47 Espresso, Beyond Black, Just Black. All of these are my favorite. And it comes in a blue box. So it's also a great gift for somebody who just likes coffee. Now, it comes in ground texture, but you can get each of these blends in whole bean K-cup ready to drink all of it. And this is just premium coffee for people who love America. So experience outstanding flavor and aroma at blackriflecoffee.com. Order the complete Mission Fuel Kit variety sampler today and get 20% off with code Dana. That's 20% off with code Dana only at blackriflecoffee.com.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of this first hour. We're going to get into some of the polling. Hold up, but I've got to make fun of something so bad. So Timmy Walls hired a gamer. Kill me now. They hired a gamer to play World of Warcraft so he could just skibbity riz right up into the whole, I guess what, Zoomer dialect. They hired a gamer to play World of Warcraft and on Twitch. They had it on Harris's Twitch page. It was this guy named Preheat. What do they got? Like 5,000, a whole 5,000 views. Whoopity doo, skibbity bop bop, riz riz wheat. I mean, they got a whole 5,000 views.
No cap.
Oh, all right. Very demure. And I love it. This is media. I just trying to blow this up. At its height, the live stream received nearly 5,000 views. Kill me. So they said that after it transitioned to just regular World of Warcraft gameplay and dropped about 3,500 viewers, I'm not going to be able to get through this whole segment up without choking to death. So,
how you doing, fellow kid?
Yeah. It's this meme where it's, you remember an alien where it's Sigourney Weaver, or if you're Al Sharpton, Sigourney Weaver. And the alien's right here. Well, somebody replaced it with Mudang and just said Skibbity Riz, you know, Bop Bop Ohio. And that's what, it's like a whole meme. Anyway, so Tim Walz, he went live and they're trying to make a big deal out of it. And this is how they were, this is how Wired, who is Wired, which is the leftist site of fake nerds, wrote this quote. The Harris campaign's goal in combining the rally with World of Warcraft gameplay is to increase the Harris and Walz visibility to young men who make up the majority of Twitch's user base. So, that's so lame. You know that these people, this is the closest to combat he's ever gotten, by the way, playing World of Warcraft, Tim Walz. I mean, he can be like, look, I'm almost there in combat. Whoa. Leroy Jenkins. So, the... I guess did he actually I don't think he actually played it. Did he just sit there while someone else played it? Dear heavens, did he?
I don't even know if he was there watching it, to be honest with you.
They, oh my gosh. It was the first time that they're going to stream live gameplay on the Twitch account. And he did not actually play, cuz he doesn't play. Nobody believes he plays. I mean all you got to look at is jazz hands. You know this dude doesn't play. He has no idea what this is. He had no idea. So the Harris campaign described Preheat, who specializes in World of Warcraft and writes guides for the game, as a volunteer for the campaign. And Trump, they noted, has his own Twitch page, but he hasn't uploaded any videos and he's never live streamed a video game because he's an older dude who doesn't, let's like not pretend. Like, don't sit here and be like, go look at me. I'm dude World of Warcraft. I'm like you guys. I'm just like you, kid Skibbity Riz. I'm just like you, no cap. Nobody believes that he does this. Nobody believes that he even knows what this is. Nobody buys this. By the way, I have to say that there's a segment of our audience listening that is like, what is she saying? Yeah. What is she saying? What is that the Skibbity? She's speaking in tongues.
That segment is me.
If you have kids, you know, too, right? So they played the game next to the rally. He didn't play it. That is so on point with this campaign. So wait a minute, we're not going to play. No, we're not going to play World of Warcraft. Someone's going to play it like next to us. I'm not even kidding.
Is it worse that they paid this guy or girl to react to his own rally just to sit there and stare at it? Like, you need more validation?
I'm sorry, what?
That was the community note that they paid him to react to one of his rallies on Twitch.
Okay. Full stop. They paid this dude to do a reaction video to one of the Walz rally.
Why are we putting these people in charge of anybody's
money? Oh my gosh. What? Oh, wait, did the rally... Here was that video of the rally where they were in the gym. It was literally a Walz rally. Oh, my gosh. Audio soundbite 27. Guys, don't spit liquids out. Don't choke on your food because it's so cringe. You could cringe to death. There is a viewer warning with this video. The likelihood of cringing to death is very real. It is a rally in Tucson. We probably can't play any of the music. They're playing Beyonce Love on Top. And... I mean, wow. I'm just getting, wow. Wow. If you wanted to know what it would look like if you translated a Gap sweater set to a gymnasium full of people, this is it. I mean, so I don't know who the guy is dancing. I guess it's one of the Walz campaign people. But they're playing Beyonce's Love on Top. And then they have all these people in this gym. This is in Tucson. I don't know who the chick in the pink shirt is. I want to die to death. And this is like the 2024 campaign version of Top That, the horrible cringe rap from that one movie starring Blake Lively's sister. It was the witch movie. Remember that? Don't Google it. You'll die. It's horrible. That's one of the worst things that's their. So the guy was paid to basically do this kind of reaction to react to that. How does one get that job? How does one like, yes, I would like to react to things, pay me. I want to react to Tim Walz's campaign. Look at all these sad, sad white Marxists. Let's react to them. So they hired this guy just to play the game next to him. And they've been trying to reach people. They've been advertising during, you know, on IGN, which is a gaming site. They've been major gaming events, all this stuff. And they've been trying to reach out. Now, a couple of things with this. Because he doesn't play. And obviously, it's cringe pandering. But maybe, I don't know, like maybe some in the Republican Party should stop this stupid, dumb talk against video games and gaming and maybe engage the gaming community. Whenever I see someone railing against games, I mean, 10 to 10, it's always either, it's always someone who's never played them. They've never played them. I'm just not going to take commentary about how games are bad and how we should ignore them from like some, you know, irrelevant, you know, middle-aged, you know, big government, George W. Bush level compassion, Republican kind of operative on TV, or somebody with their extensions curled into perfect corals on Fox or CNN or MSNBC. I'm not going to sit here and take these people's commentary about gaming when they don't even play. They have no idea what the community is. They have no idea what goes into it. They have no idea how social it is. None of it. And they all think that, it's like these people would be gun controllers. Honestly, it's the same logic. So maybe some of the Republican Party should stop this stupid talk against video games and maybe engage the community instead. And maybe someone should have told Walz that there was a big hurricane that was hitting Florida last night, because that rally was happening yesterday. What we just showed you, that was happening yesterday. Yeah. Can you imagine? Like, I can't even deal. So it's... But they're doing it. You don't see... I've been telling Republicans, you guys need to be doing this. Go into game lobbies and start registering people to vote. What are you doing? You guys got to start like engaging. They have to start engaging. All right, so some polling. We got it. So there were a couple... Let me pull this up here. I'm fighting with my bookmarking system, by the way. It doesn't want to sync on this computer from my other computer, so bear with me. Because I've got a million things saved for you. There was a new Quinnipiac that came out. It is showing, let's see. I think that in some of these battleground states, there is starting to be a narrowing, but it's still so incredibly close. There was one that came out yesterday, it was really small. It was a Quinnipiac survey. There was another, let me pull this up. Forgive me. Pennsylvania and Trump. Pennsylvania's +1. This is a Hill Emerson poll that is new. And I was looking this morning at some of the data from it. This Hill Emerson poll, it's pretty even sampled. It's likely voters, though. It's swing state likely voters, so it's not registered voters. So that has a little bit less weight to me than if it was, you know, actual registered voters. And it was a little oversampled with women. But it showed Trump up in that poll +1. I mean, in Pennsylvania, I think Republicans they're gaining some ground, but it's still close. And part of the reason, if I'm being very honest about it, is they waited this long to get this engaged. This was something that you've heard me talk about ad nauseum for months now. And I think that there would have probably been a little bit, I think he would have probably had a lead beyond margin of error had they been a little bit more engaged with a ground game. Just saying. I mean, and I feel, you know, it is what it is. But this, a couple of others. So there's in Michigan, they are tied. That's also with the Hill. That was looking at a handful of swing states. They're tied in Michigan. And it was, I mean, literally 49 to 49. I mean, there's no daylight. Ohio, Trump is pulling ahead in Ohio. North Carolina, this is again where I think why Harris was trying to shore up her hurricane participation and involvement, because Trump, in one, I have it where he's 0.6, and then one, he's up one. So, I mean, it's a virtual tie there. He's doing fine in Florida. He's doing fine in Texas. Those aren't even considered battleground states, but really it's like Pennsylvania and North Carolina, I think, are states that everybody's watching right now. Tied in Wisconsin as well. So that's just some of the latest aggregate polling. And the Quinnipiac, looking at some of that was a likely voter, not registered voter as well. But it's interesting. I think that she doesn't have anything to give her any kind of momentum. And I think this whole picking a fight with DeSantis over the hurricane was her campaign's attempt to try to manufacture something to react to create some kind of momentum. Because what can happen now, from now until November, where she can use that as like a springboard? There's nothing. She's already cycled through everything that she could have used. The convention, the nominee, unless they have a debate. But I think that Trump would be wise to kind of wait and see for the next week where the polls are, and then determine if he wants to have another debate, because he can't have another debate like he had last time. Not that he can't take her bait. He can't be played by her. If he can avoid that, then fine, just finish her in the debate, because he could easily do it. But it's all about that discipline. She needs it more than he does. If your approach to everyday aches and pains is to mask them, you know, feel better for a few hours or only have the pain return and then repeat the cycle all over again, it's time to try Relief Factor. And the good news is that Relief Factor makes that easy. Their 3-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it. It's a unique formula of ingredients that help support your body's response to inflammation. And Relief Factor was developed by doctors. It's 100% drug-free, and for so many people, the results are game-changing, even life-changing. Chris, my husband, raves about Relief Factor. So whether you're a cyclist, a hiker, you know, an athlete from your college days or high school, maybe you're just active now, Relief Factor supports inflammation reduction and joint health. Try it today. Visit relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. See and how just a few weeks or even days, Relief Factor can reduce your pain, and then you feel better, and then life is just better. So don't mask pain. Fight it naturally with Relief Factor.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
The other point, Mike, that I would make, especially came through on the briefing from the federal experts, it's really important that we think about the language that we're using to talk about what we are predicting. Because, for example, it has moved from time to time from a Category 5 to a Category 4. It's important that we not emphasize that downgrading has happened, because, in fact, the difference between Category 5 and Category 4 in terms of the danger and the damage is pretty much the same.
And that's how hurricanes work. She's trying so hard. That's like real pick-me energy, is it not? That's like, pick me. She's trying so hard to remain relevant in this whole thing. And it's just, I don't think it's working for her, dude.
You know what I gleaned from that? Is
what did you glean?
She talked about...
Were you unburdened by what has been?
No, not at all, actually. Mm-hmm. Hearing her...
Did you like Venn diagrams?
Hearing her actually creates a burden, which is really weird. But anyway, she was talking about downgrading. Don't make it, you know, like, oh, it's not actually coming down. Just because we downgraded from 5 to a 4, it's not coming down. Yet they don't do that with inflation. When inflation itself is, let's say, going down, mm-hmm. as the rate of increase mm-hmm. is slightly decreasing, they are clearly out there saying, oh, it's down. Everything's down. Everything's great, guys. Inflation's down. It clearly isn't down. But
yeah,
there's a double standard there as it relates to government.
I just
messaging.
Love how she's trying so hard. Like, let's get her in here. I mean, it's very important that I offer this analysis on how the wind works and the hurricane, you know. I don't want to say it. I feel kind of good about her chances of being unsuccessful in November. Yeah. I'm feeling, and you guys know how cautious I am. I don't want to say it totally. I don't want to commit because I'm very cautious. But I got a gut feeling. I'm just saying. Just saying. I got a little bit of a gut feeling. Because she's so bad. She's so bad. I thought this whole time that Republicans were the ones who were their own worst enemies. And that would just absolutely snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. No. It's actually her. She's the worst. I have never seen a candidate in my whole, I can't say this enough, that has such an absence of, a lack of political acumen. Oh my gosh, she keeps going with the hurricane thing. The only other person, I mean, even Kristi Noem knew to stop defending the dog pit. Hell, I mean, Kamala Harris just keeps going with this. Just won't stop, can't stop, just nonstop. Good night.
Seeing yesterday, she was on a Zoom call or something. I thought we have. Do we have this? It was cut too, I think. She was on a Zoom call, and even though her mic was open, she was trying to tell aides who were handing her the answers to questions. She was trying to tell them it's a live broadcast. Listen to this.
Flood. We really got to watch those areas and those communities. So it takes quite a while for that water to drain.
Does she not know how to mute
Thank
her?
You very much.
No, she doesn't know how to mute. Those types
I don't
of
know
things.
How to push any buttons.
It's that little microphone icon, but yeah, she
yeah,
doesn't know.
I don't know how to push those buttons. I just don't know. I can't with her. I mean, what gets me is that my friends who, people I've known my whole life, regardless of politics, who are totally wrong about politics. God love them. They're so wrong. I pray for them. But even there, like, I can't believe that. Are we supposed to vote for her? They're having crises right now. All of them. They're all. I have one friend who will just text me after something she does that's dumb. Sigh. S-I-G-H. That's it. It's just sigh. That's all I'll get. And I'm like, I know what you mean. I know. She offers them nothing. Nothing. She has not helped them. You got to help people. You got to give them a reason to vote for you. And she hasn't done that at all. So I don't know. DeSantis is holding a presser in Fort Pierce. And he's just down there TCB. He's not giving Biden Harris any time to get in there and exploit it and act, and try to campaign off of it. I'm going to tell you something. For the people that were mad at him because of Trump, y'all better be high-fiving him right now, because he's getting Trump six with this by not allowing Harris to exploit this and try to jump in on it. A smart move. Stick with us. Second hour coming up. Our partners over at Patriot Mobile. It's the only Christian conservative cell phone service out there. I mean, I'm trying to figure out how it's not hyperbole. I mean, if you're not using them, go ahead and just write the check directly to Planned Parenthood. Why don't you? Go ahead. Write the check to Planned Parenthood. If you're not using Patriot Mobile and you haven't switched, go on. Go ahead and donate to Kamala, because you are anyway. You might as well. Go ahead and write the check directly to her. You think I'm joking? You know where all of this information is publicly available at? On the internet, at a website called opensecrets.org. You can go there and see where all of your cell phone dollars are going, because they all have their little political action committees. Patriot Mobile is literally the only one that does not do that. They are the ones that actually put momentum behind the things you vote to protect. They actually don't have your money work against you. And you can actually afford their service in this economy, because they have plans tailor-made for every single person. You're also helping to create and maintain U.S.-based jobs. 100% U.S.-based customer service team. It makes it easy to switch. This is why I've been working with them for over a decade. They're literally my service. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month of service. Holy cow, when you use offer code Dana. And you get free activation using my name, too. Don't be fooled by the pretenders. Go with the only original. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of the second hour. Last hour, we went over all the latest with Hurricane Milton. And of course, the political cycle doesn't stop, even if the hurricane has, or at least it's over parts of Florida now. We were discussing too the Harris insistence on trying to politicize everything, even hurricane response. So again, welcome. You can find the simulcast if you're listening terrestrially. You can view the radio show, Channel 347 DirecTV, Rumble, where the discussion happens, also on X, too. And then sign up over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. The politics continue. And I don't think that Harris and Walz, I don't know who's advising them. I don't know what their, is their strategy to win? Because I just don't know how they keep making the choices that they're making with the end game of winning the election in November. If it's not Harris trying to continue to pick fights with Ron DeSantis over the hurricane, and Joe Biden throwing her under the bus repeatedly over and over again because, you know, coups have consequences, then it's Tim Walz saying that he wants to get rid of the Electoral College, which he said. He has said. He said that the Electoral College has to go. He reiterated his support for abolishing it. He wants a national popular vote as the sole means, which is completely the opposite of everything that the founders ever wanted and ever discussed. And he, I think, is further demonstrating that he has no idea about the principles of this republic. And Democrats really started talking about this after they lost 2000 and 2016 popular votes, because they they won the popular votes and lost the electoral votes. And ever since then, they've been, they believe that they really should win these elections. But that's not how our system works. And that's the feature. That's the design of it. It's not a bug. It's the feature of it. It is, it's, to undo it is mob rule. I mean, that's direct democracy, which we don't have. There's a reason why we are a republic with democratic processes. It's a huge difference. But he had said that his quote was, he was telling this to donors in California. He was at Gavin Newsom's house. And he said, quote, "I think all of us know the Electoral College needs to go. We need national popular vote, but that's not the world that we live in." And of course, it doesn't help that you have the Washington Post writing, yes, abolish the Electoral College. And they're all mad because of Trump and then before that Bush. That's why they're mad. I mean, this is, that's the point of it. I mean, you don't have a direct democracy mob rule. My friend David Harsanyi, I like what he said. He goes, it's not a loophole, it's a bulwark. It's a bulwark. That's exactly what it is. I mean, that's the whole reason why it isn't in lockstep with the popular vote. I mean, if the electoral vote matched the popular vote for every election, you wouldn't need the Electoral College. I mean, that's the whole thing. Is James Madison said overbearing majority, the whole purpose of it is to remedy that, because direct democracy, that's why the founders did not want, there's a reason why they did not want direct democracy. They wanted to be able to support federalism. And they knew that Americans would live in cities and that other people would be completely underrepresented, if completely omitted. So they knew this. You have to be able to govern and represent a diverse array of people and not just people in cities or in the most populous regions. Just put it like that. I mean, the Post, this is interesting. They wrote, but why should Iowa's biofuel lobby get more of a hearing than, say, California's artichoke lobby? Small states already have disproportionate clout in our government because of the Senate, which Wyoming's fewer than 600,000 residents have as much representation as California's 39.5 million. We see no particular reason voters in purple states, such as Wisconsin, be valued more than voters in red states, such as Mississippi, or blue states, such as Washington. Because they're given the same clout because of the senators. And I guess, is Washington Post arguing against federalism? It almost sounds like they are inadvertently doing that. I mean, in fact, that's what I mean, I think of, it's what it seems like anyway. Like they're arguing against it. The whole point, though, you can't just have the artichoke lobby should have outsized clout because they live in a state that has more people. I mean, that's so stupid. At corn, I would say, because, you know, whether or not you agree with its use in biofuel or not, or all of that Ayn Rand kind of, you know, Atlas Shrugged approach, the point is that it's far more useful than the artichoke lobby. The whole point is, which is, it's a goofy example that the Washington Post gives, but I think it goes to show that they don't understand one of the underpinnings of stability in our republic, which is this. I mean, there's never been really a popular vote. I mean, there's a popular vote, but they don't campaign on the popular vote. They campaign on the Electoral College. And that's, I mean, there's a whole reason why that. I'm shocked. And it seems like it's a combination of ignorance, and whenever they don't like the way that the election goes, then they want to undo whatever it was that they believe caused them to lose. The Electoral College is a great check against direct democracy tyranny. And just saying. And of course, Tim Walz, he's calling. He's kneecapping himself and demanding that we get rid of it. Of course, he doesn't also understand the First Amendment. He doesn't understand the Second Amendment either. He doesn't understand a lot of tenets of this republic. So not shocked. But the Harris campaign, they're denying that it was an official position of their campaign. They released a statement where they said it's not an official campaign position, and then a paragraph of word salad. She just said that she's open to discussing it, and that's about it. But it's silly. This is all silly. This is a great piece from Harsanyi. He notes that a direct national poll would be a radical change, even by international standards. Most free nations don't have democratic majority votes for their executives. Parliamentary systems, for example, are not national polls. Between 1935 and 2017, the majority of British voters backed the party that formed a government on only two occasions. Voters do not even cast a ballot directly for the prime minister. In 2019, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau lost the popular vote. By eliminating the Electoral College, we are far more likely to spark the creation of smaller parties that would keep presidents from gaining a majority. By the way, Putin, you know the people who win through national polls? People like Putin. They have national polls. Yeah, that's how that works. Just, I don't know who's advising them. Not all. I don't know. But in the meantime, Kamala Harris is out there being petty. Audio Soundbite H, still at it, still picking fights. When she's not trying to explain how hurricanes work on the Weather Channel or attacking governors trying to respond to hurricanes in their state. She's trying to define what she thinks makes a good leader and doesn't. Listen.
Seeking help. It is dangerous. It is unconscionable, frankly, that anyone who would consider themselves a leader would mislead desperate people to the point that those desperate people would not receive the aid to which they are entitled. And that's why I call it dangerous. And we all know it's dangerous. And the gamesmanship has to stop at some point. The politics have to end, especially in a moment of crisis and the crises that we've been seeing.
She's literally talking about herself. She was doing this all day yesterday evening, and she's been tweeting about it today still. She has been doing nothing but complain about her not being, she's demeaning, well, DeSantis has to take my phone call too. He's talked to Biden twice. Biden's already said, audio soundbite one. He was asked about Kamala Harris and Biden threw her under the bus for the third time. Listen.
Mr. President, does Governor DeSantis need to take Vice President Harris's calls?
All I can tell you is I'm talking to Governor DeSantis. He's been very gracious. He's thanked me for all we've done. He knows what we're doing. And I think that's important.
Wow. Did you see? He kind of rolled his eyes there. I'm not celebrating Joe Biden, and I'm not doing the enemy and my enemy is my friend thing right now. But I mean, I do think it's funny that he threw her under the bus not once, not twice, but three times now. She was insisting, well, he has to take my call too. Biden's like, I'm the president still, Miss Koo. I'm the president. And I've talked to him and he's been gracious and we got everything settled. So why is she bitching? She's bitching because she needs to make herself relevant with this. She realized how bad it looked as you know, the hurricane was heading towards, you know, Florida. She's on Colbert chugging beers. She's on this media blitz going to these fancy fundraisers. She realizes how bad it looks. And so she tries to correct it by attaching herself and trying to make herself part of this hurricane process so she can look like she's doing some kind of leading. And then when apparently they didn't call DeSantis or whatever, she didn't get him on the phone, she decided to blow up to the press and tell everyone that DeSantis ignored her calls, just completely ignored her. And then, of course, DeSantis was like, she didn't even call. By the way, I'm a little busy and I've talked to the president. What the hell is this about? I mean, she spent 2 days doing it. The most press that she has done has been about that, has been bitching about that for the past 2 days. That's that is the biggest issue that she has hit. She has done nothing but complain. That's it. I mean, and then she does this, audio soundbite three. This is just asinine. This is her again trying to glom onto it, some pick me energy. Listen to this.
Finally, as the president mentioned, to any company that or individual that might use this crisis to exploit people who are desperate for help through illegal fraud or price gouging, whether it be at the gas pump, the airport, or the hotel counter. Know that we are monitoring these behaviors and the situation on the ground very closely, and anyone taking advantage of consumers will be held accountable.
Meanwhile, DeSantis is like, that's already a law. We already have a law on that. What are you talking about? She doesn't even know what she's talking about. There literally is already a law on this. Does she not know what she doesn't even know what she's discussing. Of course, this is what, I don't know what she's been doing the whole time when she was as vice president. She certainly wasn't, you know, she had a front seat to to learn on the job, and she apparently wasn't doing it. It just looks so bad, and it looks so desperate. It looks so desperate. But I don't know. This is why her campaign is now causing Democrats to freak out. We're going to talk about that coming up as well, because they are. Also, we got all the latest with the hurricane. I got more polling we'll discuss. We got some culture to touch on as well as we move towards headlines. Our partners that help bring you free radio, Black Rifle Coffee. And I'm going to have to up my coffee because I've been drinking a couple of bags. Usually I have a cup a day, and I've been drinking like a cup and a half, 2 cups a day lately, just because it's the election season. It's crazy. So I'm going to have to add a bag on because I'm a coffee club member. And so with Black Rifle Coffee, you can join the coffee club and you can pick whatever roast you want and have it shipped for free right to your doorstep, so you never run out of coffee. Veteran owned, veteran and active duty work at Black Rifle Coffee. They get the best beans from around the world, and they roast them 5 days a week at their facilities in Tennessee and Utah. You are getting the best coffee that is out there. Everything else tastes like communist swill. It really does. And you can also try out their Complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler to figure out which you like. It's a classic, features a lineup of their classic roasts. You have the Silencer Smooth, the AK-47 Espresso, Beyond Black, Just Black. All of these are my favorite. And it comes in a blue box. So it's also a great gift for somebody who just likes coffee. Now, it comes in ground texture, but you can get each of these blends in whole bean K-cup ready to drink, all of it. And this is just premium coffee for people who love America. So experience outstanding flavor and aroma at blackriflecoffee.com. Order the Complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler today and get 20% off with code Dana. That's 20% off with code Dana only at blackriflecoffee.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I love this. So Fat Bear Week continues, and now they call it the gigantic... It's a bear named Grazer, and they call her a gigantic bear named Grazer. Fat Bear Week. She won the crown as, I guess, fattest bear. And this is after months after the runner-up killed her cub. The bear, known as Bear 128, beat her opponent Chunk by more than 40,000 votes. You actually can vote for the bears over at explore.org, and you vote for your favorite fat bear. That she is a wow. She is a chunk. How much does she weigh? They said 12 bears ultimately made they were the final of the fattest bears alive. But yeah, she was, her cub was killed by a male brown bear the day that the brackets were released and told dad. So she has a cub. She has a third litter though. She's got a one of her cubs from her third litter that was second in the Fat Bear Junior competition. It's like pageants for bears. I love it. Oh, Hillary Clinton. Her second book, Hateful Angry Book About Why She Lost, sold fewer copies than her first book. I mean, she barely sold 27,000 copies in her first week. Oof. Wow. A Turkish Airlines pilot died while flying the plane from Seattle. Landing in New York, emergency landing in New York early Wednesday. The captain lost consciousness mid-flight, didn't make it, airline spokesman said in a statement. They said that he didn't respond to medical intervention. It was an Airbus 350. It was going to go from Seattle to Istanbul. There was a co-pilot in the cockpit, obviously. But they had to make a four-hour flight to... It was over northern Canada. It had to turn south, making a four-hour flight to JFK so that they could land. And the guy passed a health exam, like recently, the last time they did it. So I don't know. Attorney's voice cloned in an AI scam conned his dad into giving $35,000. Always have a stay for it with your family. An attorney issued a warning over an elaborate AI voice cloning scam. It fooled his own dad. He handed over $35,000. The scammers impersonated Jay Schuster, 34, called his 70-year-old dad, Frank, said his son was in an accident and needed bail money. And the guy was a retired attorney, and he was convinced it was his hysterical son, and he's been traumatized. Like, I don't know. I just feel like you would know. Yeah. You know what I mean? You would know. A godfather of AI just won a Nobel Prize, and he's been warning that machines could take over the world, per Wall Street Journal. Jeffrey Hinton hopes the prize will add credibility to his claims about the dangers of the very AI tech that he pioneered. But now he's a newly minted Nobel laureate, and he's been saying, yes, we're at this point in history where we got to figure out how to deal with the threat, because it's happening. It's here. A Hawaii fast food worker was fatally stabbed during an altercation with a customer. Oh, well, why? Reynaldo Cheney was charged with murder and criminal contempt of court. The 60-year-old man, a 60-year-old, Kane, remember what you said, old people aren't innocent, stabbed and killed a Wendy's employee, injured another, according to reports. Honolulu had responded to their PD. He was charged with murder, criminal contempt of court. He apparently got mad over his order, and a 44-year-old employee intervened and escorted the guy out. And it kept on going. Good heavens. Like, you know, it's a fast food, but stop. We got more on the way. Stick with us.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you at the bottom of the second hour. New York Times says that it looks like the Republicans could take control of the Senate, or that they are poised to, according to the latest polling from them, New York Times and Siena College, because Republicans are leading in a couple of key Senate races, Montana, Texas, and Florida. In Texas, you have Cruz, 48-44 over the Democrat. Montana, you've got she over Tester, 52-44. And in Florida, you got Scott over Powell, 49-40%, because it's just, you know, by one right now. So it would be very easy for this to happen. My big thing is I want Republicans to maintain control of the House. I think you have to have control of the House more than anything. So we'll see. But you know, that's kind of, and it's also a really good measure of enthusiasm and support of Republicans in these states as well. Texas is a little weird. Texas is weird in that it's not an issue of Democrats coming into Texas and making everything bluer. You're always going to have that issue, but there's been a lot of pushback against that. And they're just people who don't want to see California blue state policies created here in Texas. So I don't think that that's the issue between Cruz and Allred. I think that Cruz is an odd kind of a politician. And I think he's a conservative, but I also think if I were advising him, there were things I would do differently, or I would have him do differently than what I've seen him do. And I think that's comes down to why he's only +4 ahead of the Democrat. It's not because of Democrats. And I think it's always myopic when Republicans say that, when it's sometimes the Republicans' fault for being that close to Democrats. It's not because of Democrat outreach. It's not because more Democrats vote. It's because it's because of that candidate. Cruz lost to Beto O'Rourke in my county, which is the largest red urban county left in the United States. And he lost to Beto O'Rourke by a little over 2,000 votes. And it wasn't because that there are more Democrats in this county than Republicans. It was because Republicans weren't voting. And I think that Republicans were just like, ugh. And I think you've got to draw a fine line between going out there and chasing clicks and chasing clout and then governing. And I say this as someone who, you know, I endorsed him back in 2016. There's a fine line. And that can pay, that you can see that pay off or not at the ballot box. So Texas is very different. And voters here are so fed up because you've seen, especially in the legislature, and there's a big fight right now with Republicans in the legislature. You can have a supermajority, but it doesn't matter if you've got a bunch of weak Republicans. And that's one of the things kind of Florida has been dealing with their state legislation, their state legislature. They've got a lot of Republicans. They have a major Republican majority, but you're still in that turnover process of voting out the more moderate, weaker Republicans and making sure that you get the more conservative Republicans in. That's why they haven't been able to do certain things like make sure that they can get rid of the red flag laws that passed when Rick Scott was governor and he shepherded those in. They've been working really hard to try to gain momentum for that in the state legislature, but people vote still. And some of these more weaker, moderate Republicans, they're still there and they're kind of the holdup. So that's the process that you have to play by. But in this, the Senate, it looks like it will flip. Tester of Montana is the most endangered one because it's the biggest gap between him and Tim Shee in Montana. So And Tester's been in Senate since 2006, so people are well aware of who he is. And if he's fallen this far behind at this stage in the game, that's pretty significant, I think. A couple of other, I'm going to pull this up, because there's some other surveys. The Quinnipiac poll that I had mentioned earlier, showing that Trump is taking a little bit of a lead in Wisconsin. It's within margin of error, but it's a head-to-head matchup, and it's with registered voters. He's leading by 2 points. They looked at, it's a little over 1,000 voters, October 3rd through the 7th. The margin of error is 3, so it's within that. And Trump leads by the same, by Quinnipiac, 3 points in Michigan. This is part of the blue wall. And so there's a lot of questions as to what's going on with the blue wall. That, I mean, this is a problem for Democrats now. I mean, you've had these states where you've had, you know, Wisconsin, you've had Michigan, you've had Pennsylvania. They've, you know, Harris is, so apparently Axios was saying that in Michigan, a lot of the erosion with Democrats has been with Arab voters, younger men and union members. And that's why it's one of three Senate races that Cook Political Report has been rating a toss up. And the word was that internal polling from Representative Slotkin in Michigan, who's running for Senate, that the internal polling, the what she had done showed that Harris was underwater in Michigan. And one of the reasons when they do some of these surveys, even if it's for a particular representative or a Senate, they might also try to ask, you know, about favorability towards the candidates at the top of the ticket so that they can see whether or not that is a drag or a boost to their own campaign. And it looks like Harris might be kind of a drag to some of these other candidates in Michigan and is underwater in Michigan. So that's very interesting to see that. And so that's, I mean, the blue wall, there are cracks in it. I mean, you got, what, 20-some days away for the election. There are cracks in it. And Michigan, I don't think that it is guaranteed for Trump or Harris as of right now. And I, you know, Harris lacks that amiability. She lacks that, she's not a good electioneer. She is not a good retail politic candidate, meaning she can just go in and wing it off the cuff and hang out with people and do these impromptu stops. Everything that she does is very controlled. And this is a lot different from what it was like back in the days before you had social media and television and instant access to everything. You know, these stops really meant a lot. And now they in some ways, they mean even more because it's not just a campaign stop at a sandwich shop in Michigan. It's something that's broadcast to the entire nation and everyone across the country. Maybe you didn't get to go to the sandwich shop in their neck of the woods, but it's similar if they're seeing how you're reacting in, you know, this other town. And so it holds. And she's really bad at this. That's why everything has been so controlled, so contrived, so choreographed. And it's not showing well for her. Detroit said that she's gained a little bit of momentum in Michigan, but it's not a lot. And that's why they're battling over tariffs, the tariff policies and proposals. Because there was a poll out, and this was from Click One Detroit, showing 65% of Michiganders believed that the Trump's tariff proposal would raise consumer prices. Whether or not it did or not, that's the messaging is that's how they're measuring it. And so she's got to be way more aggressive in going out there, not just doing these media hits. But she's not only plateaued, she's, I think, now starting to drop. I don't know what they do to reclaim that. I think this is maybe why they're pushing for another debate. Because I think this is why she wants another debate. If she was secure, she wouldn't need to do it and she wouldn't care. Because I don't really think Trump needs to do it, does he? I mean, everybody sees, you know, he goes out there and he can talk to people. I don't necessarily think that they need to see him contrast with her, but she has to be measured against someone because she doesn't have enough of a record to stand on her own. So she's got to be measured against somebody. I don't know how she regains or manufactures any momentum. I really don't. So it's going to be very interesting. I know the stunts that she's been doing lately aren't going to do it. Speaking of her, why is no one asking why her husband was given $80,000 in hush money and never prosecuted? So another story. So first, the story of all the sexual harassment, you know, everything else. I don't know why they're not asking that. I don't know why they're not asking that. There's a couple of stories. There's also a Politico piece, a couple of other stories. Daily Mail had first reported that Emhoff had forcefully slapped his girlfriend in 2012. And they also added that Emhoff had paid the nanny a settlement of around $80,000 and that the nanny had signed an NDA. So interesting. Nobody's asking about the $80,000. I mean, he reportedly gets pays $80,000 in hush money, and there's no questions. This is from his wife is the Me Too Believe All Women senator. Was that she was the one who was leading the questioning of Kavanaugh on that. She was the one who was trying to make it that Kavanaugh was this big giant rapist. And it was all based on nonsense. So why is this not a bigger deal? Not a bigger deal. I'm telling you. They're protecting her. The media is protecting her so much. Just like with her edited interview with CBS. They're looking at the polls. I'm telling you. You're going to see even more aggressive defense of Harris by the media. Way more aggressive as it gets closer and closer. Because her blue wall's falling apart. These accusations, I mean, if they actually reported with the stuff on I don't think Doug Emhoff would matter with Democrat voters, though. Honestly, I mean, we can sit here and talk about how Democrats are so hypocritical, and of course they are. I mean, good grief, Jeffrey Toobin, you know, you got all these other candidates out there that are all of these other leftist talking heads that have compromised themselves one way or another. Democrats don't care about this stuff. They don't actually care about women and Me Too. They really don't care about Believe All Women. It's only if it's done so advantageously to them politically. That's the only time that they care about it. And they don't even really care about it then. It's just for use as a tool for political advantage. That's it. They don't care about any of this. They don't care about these women involved in this Emhoff story. They don't care. It's all situational. Believe All Women, actually, their motto was women don't matter. They don't believe in any of this. That's why they're not consistent with it.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So yesterday, we had, it was just like a passing story about a guy named Lieutenant Dan. And Lieutenant Dan is he a veteran? I don't know, because now X is trying to milkshake duck him, and I don't know. He's a guy who's got one leg, and they call him Lieutenant Dan. And he decided to stay in his 20-foot boat and weather the hurricane. And he survived. And he was trending on social media last night because everybody was wondering, is Lieutenant Dan safe? And it turns out he made it. He did make it. And we got some audio of him because he is the Florida man of Florida man right here. He survived Milton. He started, I don't know. He apparently has got an arrest record. Which one are we playing? I don't even know what to start with. Okay, let's do it. Okay, start with the 23. Here's this Lieutenant Dan.
How's the ride?
The water's gone.
Yeah, it's going out into the water. It's going out, being pulled out.
Yeah, you can see right there.
How are you doing? No problem. Was it as bad as you thought?
No. Is the water coming back in or still going out?
It's going out.
Alright, I'm going down.
Alright, you hang in there.
Alright, you guys.
So, I was looking. His record is just like for boat tickets and stuff like that. Like some people on social were wondering, because apparently there's another guy with his exact same name that they were looking up another guy's record. But apparently he's got past tickets and stuff like that, drug paraphernalia, and he had a possession charge in Broward County. He pled no contest. Anyway, the whole point is that this dude stayed on a 20-foot boat in a hurricane, a Cat 4, Cat 5 hurricane, stayed on the boat and weathered it. Do you think, I would have been sick, dude, because you know that would have been some choppy water. Audio soundbite 24. So he started a GoFundMe a few weeks ago. Well, get this. I just saw this. there's one outlet. It's called Kickstream. He's been offered a $2 million kick deal and a $100,000 boat. This is Saudi Sun by 24.
First off, this man has a GoFundMe with over $20,000 in it. He's not homeless, period. He lives on a boat, except for the short year that he spent in prison for beating a EMT with a violin.
Okay, so apparently his GoFundMe I don't think that was accurate.
Under a different name than the
so
one
anyway,
that
he's got a GoFundMe, but he was offered a $2 million kick deal and a $100,000 boat. That is true, because Kickstreams Live actually confirmed that on X. But there are some people that are trying to do an expose on him, and they're trying to, I guess, say that some of the crimes from this other guy are his, and they're not. But his was apparently he got in trouble for marijuana before it was legal, and it wasn't a felony charge. So anyway, I don't know. So it was this lady who did it. First off, don't be a dumb bitch and start slandering somebody on air, okay? I don't know. I'm not apologizing for calling her that or saying her that. This is my or saying that she is that because she is. I have a major problem with these people who want to pretend to be journalists and they get on stupid CCP TikTok and they make these dumb videos and they run their mouths without doing proper research. And then they end up slandering and defaming and libeling people. Stop it. Don't be the Karen that does that, okay? Don't be like, I gotta hurry up and make a stupid video for clicks. No one cares. No one will remember your name in 24 hours, but they will remember how you smeared this guy. So stop doing that. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. I hate that that is like a feature of humanity now, thanks to social media. And I'm not apologizing for my language. I would say something way harsher, but I'd be fined. So all he got busted for pot and that was it. He's not a pedophile. He's not all this stuff. But all of that was like running rampant because of this one chick on social media. This guy just wanted to survive the hurricane in his boat with his one leg. That's all he wanted to do. How did he not get tossed out that boat? Can we throw up that picture that I put in Slack? Because someone went by on the dock and they were like, hey, Lieutenant Dan, that's what they call him. And he popped his head out of the canvas and it's a meme. This is all going to be as the day after the election. This is going to be the image. I have never felt an image so much in my life because it was just the white tarp and then him poking his head out. And I'm like, that is us. That is all of us right now. Juan's getting ready to show it to you. This is going to be our image for this is us the day after election. I'm saving it. Because I'm going to use this gratuitously. Oh, my gosh.
Has it stopped raining?
Is it stopped? Is the election over yet? So Lieutenant Dan did survive. And yes, the woman who did that video was a progressive.
Of course.
So does that make you feel better now about my language? Does it make you feel better? I apologize. Not really. Third hour next. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you here at the top of this third hour. President Biden is speaking now, just giving an update about all the latest with the recovery following Hurricane Milton. Let me know if he's going to be working, throwing Harris under the bus again. Really want to know. She has been nonstop waging a war. I mean, you got DeSantis down there and state officials that are trying to, you know, respond to a hurricane. And she's been fighting with him on X, on other social platforms, whining to the press, and Biden's thrown her under the bus 3 times already. You know, because coups have consequences. Just saying. They have consequences. But so far, it's been pretty devastating. The fatalities, Tampa Bay battered, bruised, still standing though. And they were saying that the damage is a lot less than what they had originally feared it would be. There are 10, I've read 11 fatalities, millions without power in Florida, and they are working. They said, DeSantis said the state avoided the worst case scenario, but he said the damage was still significant and that the Tampa Bay area sidestepped the surge that had prompted some of the most dire warnings. In St. Lucie County on the East Coast, it was tornadoes. 5 fatalities were from tornadoes. And 2 of them were in the Spanish Lakes community, senior living. And they said search and rescue teams are still going through those areas. They had, listen to this, by 8 p.m. yesterday, they had counted 19 confirmed tornadoes. So you had Hurricane Milton and then all of these tornadoes all at the same time. That's insane. And they said that throughout the day, According to the National Weather Service, they had 45 reported tornadoes. Now, they confirmed 19. Some of these may have been duplicate reports, but they had 45. So as of this morning, they had 3 million without power. Some, though, had already been without power, and they've been waiting for the restoration after Hurricane Helene and then now you have Milton that came through. No injuries in the Tropicana field because the Milton apparently shredded the fabric roof there. And there were, you know, obviously toppled trees, etc. But there was, they said that so far, Tampa spared that direct hit that they were kind of anticipating. People heeded evacuation orders. And so that's emergency crews are out and they've been waiting for some of the waters to crest with that storm surge before they can get safely out there and start clearing and repairing. The other thing, too, Kane, you mentioned this yesterday, was the electric cars. So they said that emergency crews now have to, I mean, they're not just looking at the situation with the down power lines and everything else, but they're also looking apparently at the batteries, the EV batteries. And they said that one of the CFO of Florida, the chief financial officer and the state fire marshal, said that there had been a string of fires in the wake of Hurricane Helene. And the state found that they counted at least 64 lithium battery fires after Hurricane Helene. EVs accounted for 17 of those. The rest were scooters, hoverboards, and golf carts. One fire confirmed from an electric wheelchair. And they found 50,000 EV and hybrid registrations in the path of Milton's storm surge. So they were even, like Geico even had to send out an email. They cited the state, the fire marshal for the state, they cited his statement to policy holders warning them, look, you need to be careful about your EVs. Maybe look into a protected parking area. Tesla apparently was sending push notifications to warn people to move to higher grounds because those are really difficult. I didn't realize how difficult they were to extinguish, but they really are. So that's one of the other things that they've been having to kind of worry about. They said that's the water and the ion batteries don't mix. And I mean, they blow up. And so the salt water can conduct electricity. And then when it gets inside that area, the little sealed part of the lithium ion battery that is in the cars and like some of these other devices that I mentioned, it can short circuit it and then it heats it up and then it can cause a fire. So golly, isn't that, if you have the water touch this, the fire will come. Right. Isn't that wild? Science is crazy. Science is wild. But the river forecast breaking water levels. So all of this, it is, I mean, it's pretty, I'm just glad that they're saying that it wasn't as worse as it could have been. I mean, to us, it looks pretty bad. Like, what was worse then? What does that look like? But when it hit as a Cat 3 officially. So there's, you know, we've got some goodness, got some saving graces there. So that is some of the latest. And like I said, the president was just speaking about it. I'm sure, I don't think he said anything about Harris, but he was speaking about it a little bit ago. But people are cleaning up and building back and getting everything situated and getting back on track. So, and then it looks like, too, I'm glad that they were prepared for everything, including, you know, potentially having election. You know, they want to make sure that people can access and go out and vote. So it looks like their over-preparation was instrumental. And the early preparation. They started 96 hours instead of the 72, from what I had read. So this is all good stuff. All good stuff. Now, in the meantime, politics continues. Tim Walz wants amnesty. Audio soundbite 26. He's saying just all the wrong things. Listen.
This is what you want, and this is what we know. To enact an earned pathway to citizenship for those who've lived in this country for years. This issue should not divide us. It should unite us.
So the active pathway is to start the process. That's it. Under the Flores Amendment, I mean, you had for two decades, well, 15 years at least, past 15 years, you had it where people could not be deported so long as they started the process of beginning the applications, start whatever, if they, regardless if they were brought here illegally as children, not of their own free will, by their parents, whatever, as long as you start the process. That was the whole Dreamer thing. You had the Flores Amendment, you had the Dreamer Act. That's what all that was to prevent. And nobody apparently took advantage of that, I guess. So it's like, I really have a hard time feeling bad or wanting, or feel persuaded to accommodate people who didn't take advantage of the grace period and fill out and be, I mean, you can fill out college applications, you can fill out job applications, you can fill out and go buy cars and do all this other stuff, but you can't do this. And then it's supposed to be everyone else's fault, or it's the fault of our immigration laws, which are actually less strict than everybody else's. No, that's not how that works. So this, on top of it, check this out. New York City is seeking 14,000 rooms to shelter illegal immigrants all the way through 2025. The city projects that spend on housing for illegal immigrants over the past 2 years, they're going to go over $2.3 billion, the majority of it paid to hotels in the Big Apple. The Department of Homeless Services, they're seeking contracts with hotels to provide 14,000 rooms for people who entered illegally throughout the year. 150 hotels are sheltering those who came in illegally. And the total spending on this service, these illegal immigrant services, are going to be over, it's going to be about $6 billion. $6 billion. And they said that many hotels in Midtown, in Manhattan, have converted to these shelters instead of actually being places where they can have tourists. And the total cost per night is like over $350. And that's per room per night. So think of it. I mean, that, and in Midtown of all places, like in Midtown, why Midtown? Why are they putting them in Midtown, out of curiosity? Is it just, I mean, there are other places that you can go outside of Midtown that are still near transportation hubs, but why Midtown? Like, that is where all the tourists go. I'm curious about that. And so that's the, apparently they there was one, the Hotel Association there. This is, it is one of the big hotel associations. They said that their foundation was paid $100,000 per month to administer three of its existing contracts with the city. Wow. So that's where, yay, taxes, right? That's where all the money's going. That's where all the money is. And then Tim Walz wants to make it easier. How do you continue paying for that?
Can't.
I mean, it's, you're looking at like billions and billions of dollars. How do you keep paying that? How is that? I just don't understand how that works. You, at some point, something's got to give, right? At some point, it's not financially sustainable. You don't get anything, good heavens. You don't get, I tell you, I can't imagine being on the hook for that. No wonder people are leaving New York. They're all leaving New York. And it's audio soundbite 21. And then you have this guy over at CNN. Well, there's no basis that FEMA's spending relief money on this, except they've admitted it, though. Listen.
I think this is another example of Senator Vance delivering Trumpian lies in a slightly more sophisticated way. So this op-ed says that some have claimed that FEMA's disaster relief money is separate from the money that is going to migrant. This is not a some have claimed. That is the truth. These are two separate pots of money specifically allocated by Congress for two very different purposes. One, $650 million for a migrant shelter program to be administered by FEMA, and then more than $35 billion this year to FEMA for disaster relief.
So they can't, so they were saying that, I mean, Mayorkas himself was saying 3 months ago, oh, FEMA's prepared for hurricane season. And then, you know, after Helene, well, FEMA's broke and we can't make it. We don't have the funds. And then where do the funds go? Well, and then it showed all of the spending on, I mean, the people who came forward to talk about the funds being used for illegal immigrants were literally people who worked at FEMA, which is why they're called whistleblowers, and they followed proper protocol to go and report it by going through members of Congress and lodging the complaint and bringing the receipt. So it's not that there are candidates who are, I mean, the actual PDF of their claims, their accusations, and the evidence exist on the internet, and it was released by members of Congress after the whistleblowers came forward. So for them to try to diminish or exclude the participation of the actual people who worked in FEMA, who made this claim and brought all this to light in the first place by saying that it was just something from Vance or just something from Republicans, that is such a dodge, because they want to play upon what they perceive as people's dislike of either Trump or Vance and have that borrowed by this argument so that they can discredit this argument. Well, you dislike Vance and Vance said this, so it must not be true, except Vance didn't say it. He's repeating what FEMA whistleblowers said. They don't tell you that. We have more on the way.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Okay, this, let's see here. In Chicago, there was another crime. Headlines, yeah. Two people were shot and killed in a restaurant in the city's southwest side. Okay. It's not really what I do with Quick Five, but... It's more crime. Where's the, well, oh, that's right, defensive gun usage. It's really, really hard to do that in Chicago because they don't like it when you get guns. That's right. This story, a homicidal suspect poured gasoline on himself and crashed into a patrol car head on, KIRO, Channel 7. Wow, that's one way to go out. This is in Washington. Deputies answered a call about domestic violence when they arrived. The guy poured gas on himself, stole a family car, and it's on video. It's kind of crazy. Drove right in to a patrol car. He'd already been in prison for a couple of years and was like literally just released. And now I guess he's going back after he... Well, the crash was so violent it tore the front tire off the patrol car and sent it 50 feet in the air. So the guy was caught, put in restraint, taken to jail. Homicidal seems like the least kind of adjective that you could have used for that. A man on a plane that landed was charged with drug possession. He had a backpack that he was wearing. It drew the attention of an officer, et cetera, et cetera. And he ended up going to jail. So there you go. Don't take drugs on a plane. Let's see here. This Dr. DNA brags about creating Frankenstein dogs by combining French bulldogs with Dalmatians. Can we stop doing this? First off, French bulldog. I've had Frenchies. I love them. I love them so much. I will never have another Frenchie again. Ask me, before you ever consider getting a Frenchie, talk to me. I'll tell you everything you want to know. But this guy wants to breed French bulldogs with Dalmatians. The guy doesn't have any veterinarian qualifications at all. And people were like, well, your breeding techniques seem a little weird. You think? Yeah, I think so. Think so. Star Wars shares its first official look at what they call a trans clone trooper. Okay. If you're a clone, you're not trans. And how would you know? Because you're got the armor on, right? You okay, Kane? Right. Are you trying to figure out how that works? Yeah. Trans clone trooper. How would you know unless they told you, like CrossFit and eating paleo? How would you know? I'm keto.
Are you vegan?
I'm vegan. I love to cycle and I'm trans. Like just, it's a trans clone trooper. Okay. All right. Do we need that? Is that something that was needed? So anyway, I don't think that that's going to bring the people that Star Wars ran off. I don't think that that's going to bring them back. But they shared the first official look of it. And I guess it's going to be in their Secrets of the Clone Troopers. And it's sister. It's a character. And they said this. Nobody cares. Literally nobody cares. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
I need someone to explain to me what is happening in this video that Gretchen Whitmer posted. It's Gretchen Whitmer in one of those horrible camo hats feeding a Dorito to some chick who's supposed to be, I don't know, I hate the term influencer. It's just digital prostitute. And can I show, don't play the music because I'm sure it'll be copywritten, but what is this? Was this on TikTok?
Yeah, I think it originally was on TikTok, but I think it moved over to Instagram is where I first saw it. And then, of course, they've been reposting it on X because there's been a massive attempt, apparently, to shut this video down.
So there's this chick who is kneeling in front of Big Gretch, and Big Gretch in the video, if we have it, hands her a Dorito like it's a cracker at church. And then she like looks at, she's looking at the camera. It's weird. And what is with this like millennial obsession to sexify everything? Stop it. Is that actually a girl? I don't know. The video is she mocking like Catholics getting?
It kind of looks like that.
Doesn't it? I don't understand what the point is. And then she looks at the, I don't understand. So we were talking about this because I'm non-denominational. I was raised Southern Baptist, non-denominational. So we have to ask our, it's a new official title we just bestowed on him, our resident Catholic Steve. So is that, I just don't think that that's how it works in the Catholic Church. I mean, I've been in Catholic churches. I don't ever see it working like that. Is that, what am I missing? And when, is that what it is? Do you think that's what it is? Is that how you look at it?
I don't know. When I would go to the priest, or the Eucharist, whoever's giving communion, you're supposed to put your right hand in a cup, like you're cupping something, and then your left hand under it. And then you say the body of Christ, and then you eat it and cross your, do the cross. But I've never kneeled down doing it. That seems odd. Unless I don't know about this, what it is. Yeah.
Because some people, is it that? Otherwise, I don't know why. Okay, why would you post this? First off, why would you do it? And why would you post it? Right? Yeah. And I don't, what am I missing?
You're missing what I'm missing. I have no idea. Maybe Juan could throw it up there again, but it looks like maybe it's mocking the communion thing. But I don't really know.
I guess it is mocking communion.
I guess.
I don't know. I don't understand what the point of it is and why.
But boy, J.D. Vance is weird.
Yeah, J.D. Vance is so weird. Look at this video. J.D. Vance is so weird, though. Look at that video with the chip. So weird. Weird. So weird. Cults, conspiracies, weird. Isn't that how it goes? Like you're supposed to. Okay, all right. Well, there you have it. So, okay. I don't know what the point of that is, but
It says this girl's a Canadian podcaster, Liz Plank. I'm not going to give her credit here, but I don't know why. I don't get the connection here. It must be a dance or something we don't know about.
Oh my gosh, she's a Canadian. Everybody's a podcaster nowadays. You fart in a mic and you upload it to Instagram and you're a podcaster.
You can do that?
Yeah, you can do it. That's what most of it is anyway. It's all my opinions. Something on TikTok.
I looked up videos of like first communions and how communion's done because, again, I'm non-denominational Baptist from the Midwest. And I see priests actually placing the wafer in the mouth of the people coming up. So the body of Christ is the wafer. The blood is the wine.
I feel like if that chick showed up to take communion like that, the priest would kick her. Like he'd yeet her back.
This is governor of Michigan.
It's Big Gretch.
Yeah.
Trans Paul Bunyan.
Saying absolutely nothing while looking.
Looking at the camera all weird. Why do they've got to sexify everything up, by the way?
Is that
why?
What it was? Was that sexifying?
You're telling me it's not.
Her look in the camera, King. You think she thinks that's sexy?
Well, it's Big Gretch. I mean, it's probably as like femme as we
about
can get
as
it.
As good as it's going to get.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, people are, look, we live in absurd times. And if this is what I have to comment on, don't expect it to not be absurd. That's all I'm going to say. I can't watch this video anymore. I'm going to throw up on everybody and everything. Sorry, Juan.
Yes, definitely don't throw.
Oh my gosh. Where can we go? Maybe the transgender stormtrooper. I don't know. How do you know she's transgender? Cause she got pink stripe on her armor.
It's more normal of a story.
Yeah. She's clad in armor painted in the blue and pink transgender flag. Is that a special clone trooper? No, she's trans. She thinks she has a penis. Wait, she thinks she has a penis? Yeah, she thinks she has a penis. She doesn't, though, totally. And it's, we don't know how it's a she because they're all cloned after a dude, but whatever. Wait a minute. Let's pause that. Is it a dude who pretends to be a chick who pretends then to be a dude? Who says you can't do that? Do you get an extra intersectional point? Do you get to power up plus five intersectionality if you claim to be like, I'm a dude who wants to be a chick who's now a dude who wants to be a chick? Like, can you just keep it going for like, you know, get that buff? Like, how does it work?
Cosplaying as stormtroopers. So they're faking that too.
Because the clone troopers all came from a dude. So how does it get to, how does a chick get in here?
Never underestimate Hollywood.
I mean, it's all on, what's his face? Fett, Jango Fett, isn't it? I saw the prequels. I know the canon. It was all made from Jango Fett. Jango Fett had a bunch of little Jangos. So how the hell does she get here? How are you a clone trooper? What am I missing?
It's sexist if you don't do it this way in the story.
I just think that she's trying to go for that buff. She's going to power up more.
Stormtrooper drag incoming.
And how is she? Okay. Oh gosh. It's Jango Fett. How is it a black female clone trooper? Jango Fett was a dude and he wasn't black.
It is all fiction.
That's like saying we cloned the samurai to make all these warriors and one of them happens to be a white chick. How does that happen? Doesn't matter if she's black. It'd be the same thing if she's white. And a she. How do you clone? Science! We cloned Jango Fett and this is what we got. How the hell does this work? Whoa. What in the force is happening here? What the force? What's happening?
I think you're just being bigoted, Dana, is all it is.
But I love that they've got to be, like, we want to be like everyone else, but we want special paint on our armor. This paint lets you know what genitals we have. Otherwise, how could we fight these wars?
This paint makes us shoot with the inaccuracy of all the other stormtroopers.
Does the paint on your armor letting everybody know what private parts you pretend to have make you shoot better? I got I'm plus 30% more accurate now because I'm a trans clone trooper. I'm not going to move from this topic. I hate everything. Disney, you're a horrible wart on the butt of American culture. You are. And this is just awful. I don't understand this. Why?
But does it come along with more, like, you know, abilities? Like you?
Does it come along with a voice changer?
Now that you're trans clone trooper, you can do better things than regular clone troopers?
Well, she probably flies the ship worse. I mean, if you're going to be, you know, like, go full on, right? Go full on. Don't go halfway. This just looks so stupid. They said that it's the secret of it's the first look at Sister, a trans woman clone trooper.
Hold on, I don't get enough time to play this. Here we go.
I love it. It's the description of Sister. When one of our kind expressed her gender identity differently than her fellow troopers, she'd have to hide who she truly is inside. Fortunately, her brothers in the 7th Sky Corps gave her the name Sister as a constant reminder that even though she's got a penis, she can still pretend to have a vagina. So it's a dude pretending to be a chick. So yeah, that none of this makes sense. It's Jango Fett. Jango Fett literally is the template. I don't know. Kane, questions?
I don't know.
I honestly have no idea.
I'm not going to watch it because it's horrible.
Oh, it's something you can watch? This isn't just conceptual?
I don't know. Isn't it like for some stupid series that What's-Her-Face Kathleen's going to ruin?
Yeah, I didn't look into it.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, I don't know. I have nothing nice to say about any of this. I don't. So you got this and then you got Big Gretch. Speaking of clone troopers, Big Gretch. I don't know. None of this makes sense. So they're ruining Star Wars. Why do you have to sit here and constantly... What's your job? You're a trans clone trooper. I'm in charge of the younglings. True. But the paint really is the right.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, imagine You're looking at a... I'm not done. I told you guys it was not going to move on. It's just ruining... Like, I grew up with Star Wars. It's ruining everything in my life. It's like watching... Like, you're watching all the clone troopers, the sea of them. What's that one got some... Why is that one painted like a coffee cup? You know those coffee cups you get like in like at fast food restaurants or whatever, and they have like the pink and blue like smear on them. You know what I'm talking about, Kane, on the outside?
Yeah.
That's what the paint on this looks like. Why is that one painted like a coffee cup? Well, that one is pretending to have a vagina. That is why. So it's not like a special. No, it's not special. I mean, in that it's ill, but it's not special like that. It's not like a special operative. Are we just going to... You see how dumb this is? Can you imagine if we did this for our fighting forces? Oh. Why does this soldier have special paint? Because he's pretending that he has breasts. But he doesn't. That's correct. But... Like, that doesn't... That goes against everything that they were established to be. You're supposed to be a fighting force. And you can't go... We're going to go and fight the rebels, but wait a minute, hold up. We have to accommodate this dude. That's not how I feel like they would work. I feel like they would yeet him off the planet. Yeah. Wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. They'd like lead, and then people are like, why is nobody like Star Wars? Why is nobody, why you guys are big? It's because you're ruining it. You're ruining everything. Stop making things suck out loud. Go and make your own stupid stories that nobody wants to read. Go and make your own stupid movies that nobody wants to watch. Go and make your own dumb cringe video. Go do it. Go to your own little cringe corner of the world and do all your cringe stuff there. Leave our stuff alone, weirdos.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm still not over the Django clone. I'm probably going to have a piece about that coming up. I'm just done with all of it. Why is everything so dumb? Everything is so ridiculous. Gosh, November needs to get here so we can just, it's going to get crazier just to... Sorry, just to let you guys know, it's just going to probably be nuttier as we get closer and closer. Can you play? Are you saving that audio for Today in Stupidity? I'll let you keep it.
No, we can play it now.
Because I don't want to take it now if you got something. No. I don't want to steal it. It's just really, it's really good.
There's so much stupid.
I don't need to steal it.
You're not stealing anything. Like I said, I have a surplus of stupid.
I just, you know what? Let's
play it. Let's cut six.
No,
the scale and breadth of the threat, which is somewhat unusual for Milton.
Thank you. And thanks for your good work. It's
Mike,
good
one more question.
Yes, sir.
For people listening, what is the width of the state of Florida from the Tampa Bay area across to Sebastian Inlet in that area to Palm Beach? What kind of distance are we talking about?
It's about as wide as a hurricane.
It's a hurricane width, sir. How wide is it? How wide is Florida? How long is your peninsula?
Your what?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Yeah, don't get too excited that he threw Kamala under the bus, because you still have that. Can we play Bill Nye, the fake science guy who's not actually a scientist? Because I can't stand this pencil neck. Audio soundbite Schmortain, please. 14, sorry.
The other side, as we often call it, has no plans to address climate change, no plans for long-term dealing with these sorts of problems. If you have young voters out there, encourage them to vote. People say, what can I do about climate change? If we were talking about it, associating it with big storms like this, that would be really good. But the main thing is vote.
You got to vote for Democrats so the sun god will be happy and not burn you with its lava. That's what. You know who wears bow ties? Little kids, little boys on Easter, and weirdos who try to act like they're quote unquote eccentric. That's who wears bow ties. Nobody wears bow, unless you're selling popcorn and you talk like Foghorn Leghorn and you're an old man in the South, then maybe, you know, and you wear it with a pastel colored jacket at the Derby. Otherwise, don't wear a bow tie. It's dumb. Tux ties don't count.
I say vote, boy.
I said son. Like, why? That's Bill Nye, the science freak. He's not actually a scientist. What is he? I don't remember. He's like a shoe salesman. I can't remember. I don't care. He's not actually a scientist, though.
Yeah, I don't know. His yeah. jacket looked convincing, though.
I want to see him and Gwen Walls fight. If you had Bill Nye in one corner and Gwen Walls, and you remember the celebrity death match where it was the Play-Doh people, the stop-motion claymation back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Like, at first it was fun and then just got dumb and boring. But you could kind of do that, but like with political characters now. So I would totally pick Bill Nye and Gwen Walls, and I would just have like a freak bracket, right? Of all the freaks on the left. And that, let it go and see what happens. All right. Yeah, Lorraine says he looks like a potato because his lighting's bad. That actually is, that tracks. He's a spud, spud nigh. All right, today's stupidity
That's
game.
That's unfair to potatoes. All right, so Governor Walz's wife was out there campaigning for Kamala. This is how that went.
Whole thing. When the Scarlet Team comes on the field, we will all stand up and cheer. To the other team, we'll never yield, and we won't forget we're here. We will fight for victory and win. We will conquer.
So this is what she's doing when she isn't talking to the crowd as though they're toddlers. It's good stuff.
Can she stop just being so condescending and offensive? No, because she's cray. She likes the smell of burning buildings and tires after riots, remember. That does it for us tonight. Make sure you sign up for Substack, Chapter and Verse, YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. Back with you tomorrow.